This is Border Crossings, radio's number one request hour. And now, your host, Larry London.
Hi, welcome to Border Crossings. I'm Larry London, live from D.C. in Studio 4. Today's a very special day. Throughout the world, it is World Refugee Day. Today, we welcome a very talented, nationally recognized musician in our studios who has been recognized by the United States Congress. He's won many awards. And he's got some great music, too, in addition to being a national television star in America. Ron Vultonguez is here on The Voice of America. Stay tuned. We'll be talking to him after this song. Whoa.
I was never taught how to love someone like you, and I have always fought to be loved until I met you. I'm just learning to love through the good and the bad, learning to love through the right and the wrong, learning to love you, it drives me insane. But I wouldn't want it any other way.
London, and welcome to Border Crossings. We have a very special program for you today in celebration of World Refugee Day. We'd like to welcome to our studios and to Washington, D.C., an artist who gained acclaim by appearing on a very popular TV show in the United States called American Idol. He's been writing songs for most of his life, and he grew up at least part of his life in DRC. We'd like to welcome to Washington, D.C., the one and only Ron Vultonguez. It's nice to have you in our studios, Ron.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is a
You're texting and tweeting as we talk.
I'm not being rude and texting. I was just posting online to make sure that everyone
to the worldwide audience
gets a chance to tune in if they don't know that I'm doing this.
Well, this is great. It's wonderful to have you on The Voice of America. Is this your first time here in Washington, D.C.?
This is my first time in Washington, D.C. And I got to tell you, I had absolute chills. I get chills right now just thinking about it, just flying down here and seeing the White House and just seeing all this stuff, mm-hmm. which just gave me chills, and it was surreal to be here. So thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I know you went through quite a bunch of inconvenience to get here with several different canceled flights and whatnot, but you came from Texas, but you're originally from DRC, mm-hmm. But you are now living in Plano?
Yeah, I was originally born in DRC, and as some folks know, there's been a lot of craziness going on out there. And so long story short, just like a lot of families and folks do, ended up finding refuge in America when I was almost 10 years old. And then I grew up a lot of my life in Plano, Texas. Mm-hmm. But once the music thing started happening, I just kind of, wherever I'm at the time, that's kind of where
wherever it takes you.
Exactly.
And it did take you to Los Angeles. You were in Hollywood for a while, appearing on television for American Idol. You did very, very well.
Thank you.
And you were one of the very popular contestants on the show and got rave reviews from Lionel Richie, which is in and of itself a tremendous honor. And then Katy Perry and Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
Must have been surreal.
You know, you don't, you know, when you're in your bedroom and you're finally picking up the guitar and you're learning, if someone would have walked into my bedroom when I was kind of learning, and they're like, "You're going to meet Lionel Richie one day," I'd been like, "Sure." And so, you know, it actually started for me in New York City at Madison Square Garden, which, you know, that was the second time I ever made it to New York. The first time was whenever I got to America. So I was like, wow, what two extreme reasons to be in New York City.
But that's amazing. You know,
it's fitting.
Not many artists can say they've got fans who happen to be Katy Perry and Lionel Richie and Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
And you do.
No, and just being on the show, too, different people in the industry tuned in. I remember there was Good Morning America with Michael Strahan and Scotty McCreary, who was one of the winners. I think he won.
Yeah. He was country singer. He's been on this show before,
oh, that's so cool. And Michael Strahan was a huge football fan of his, so that was just really cool to know he was involved in a conversation that had to do with me, you know, and that was cool. But he was like, you know, Scotty, who was your favorite? He was like, you know, that Ron Bolton. I was like, whoa. Someone texted me, they're like, Scotty McCreary is talking about you on, you know, Good Morning America right now, and I just blew my mind. And he was basically just said all these really nice things about me, and then as I was performing during the season, I got a tweet from Philip Phillips.
Another winner from the Idol
Show. Yeah, and he said that I did great on his song. And so just getting confirmation, affirmation, whichever the proper word is. Sorry, I didn't grow up speaking English. But whichever the proper word is for these songs that I performed was just, it was really cool. You know.
Well, you're articulate in English. You speak English very well, fluently. And you speak other languages, Swahili and some other languages.
I want to first off give a shout out to my Plano ISD ESL teacher.
Oh, go right ahead.
Miss Lopez. She's the reason why.
She deserves it. Miss Lopez.
She taught me English, you know. She's the reason why I learned to speak English. And I don't know. It's I grew up speaking French primarily.
Right.
And so that's like my bread and butter, you know. And but Swahili and Lingala, I usually understand whenever I'm in trouble. That's that's when I most understand those languages.
And you had mentioned that you idolized a football player, and there's good reason, because I guess you grew up wanting to be a football player, and you were an awesome quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's true. I grew up playing football. Like, I actually started in seventh grade, because from, you know, being in Kinshasa, that's everyone lives and breathes soccer or football, right? And so that was my thing. When I came here, when I was old enough to play school sports, I played soccer, and I was just like, man, these American kids suck at soccer. Like, it was just so much fun for me, you know? And then I found out about football, and that challenge, I was like, ooh, like, this is, you know, I love a good challenge, and something that, you know, pushes me to be better. And so I started playing football, and I was awful. And I started out on B team.
Wow.
And Texas football is not, you know, it's pretty serious football.
Oh, yeah.
And I played football. I played in high school. Ended up becoming a quarterback, which was my dream. And started getting looks from different colleges. And I went on to play college football. And
amazing.
And then just the toll that it was taking on my body. My foster mother would always be like, you know, you don't have to play. She didn't want me to play football because it was just so unsafe.
I don't think many parents want their kids to play. It's a dangerous sport.
She's like, you could sing. I was like, I'm not a singer. I mean, this is college, mind you. This is college at this point. I'm like, I'm not a singer. Like, that's not, I'm a football player.
Right.
I'm going to be next Michael Vick. Like, that's, you know. but I didn't really know that I could sing. And it's not something I've been doing my whole life or wanted to do or anything. And I was like, I'm not a singer. It's not for me. It's funny how life works out. I feel like I didn't really choose music. You know, mm-hmm. I feel more so like I was chosen to do this. And so that's how that rolled out for me.
Mm. We've got Ron Rotongas in our studios. A very interesting story from this young man who has achieved so much in a very short amount of time. But we're thrilled to have you in our studios. Would you do a song for us?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to.
And how old are you?
I am now 23 years old.
Just 23. Wow.
I like the way you worded that.
All right. What's this song called?
Well, I'm going to start off with, can I strap this on real quick? So this is one of the songs that I sang in Hollywood Week.
Okay.
During American Idol. And it's called When You Love Someone. And basically, because of my dynamics growing up, I grew up in a pretty, you know, it was the dynamics at home for me were not the most healthy for a child. And so this song basically, it helps children and helps people understand that sometimes things like divorce or family issues, sometimes it happens, and too often children feel like it's their fault. And so this song kind of just, it's about how sometimes it happens. Anyway, it's called When You Love Someone. It's originally by James C.W. I should probably plug in my guitar, actually.
Well, that helps. If you're just tuning in, we have Ron Rotongas on the show, and he is coming to us from Texas, but it's been a long, long journey, which we're going to talk more about after we get a chance to listen to this particular song here.
When You Love Someone.
To class, don't be hanging around the back of the schoolyard. I've been courted by your teacher, you said she can even reach you, cause you're so far. You've been talking with your fist, didn't raise you up like this, now did we. There've been changes in his house, things you don't know about in his family. And it don't make sense, but nevertheless, you gotta believe us, it's all for the best. Don't add up the way things go, son, you should know. Well, sometimes moms and dads fall out of love, sometimes two homes are better than one. Some things you can't tell your sister, she's still too young, yeah, to understand. When you love someone, nothing's gonna change with your old friends. And your room will stay the same, cause you'll only be waiting on the weekends. And it don't make sense, but nevertheless, you gotta believe us, it's all for the best. And don't add up the way things go, we'll always love you, no matter what. Well, sometimes moms and dads fall out of love, sometimes two homes are better than one. Some things you can't tell your sister. She's still too young to understand. When you love some, crying on the couch, don't let it freak you out. It's just been so hard. Well, sometimes moms and dads fall out of love. Sometimes the best intentions just ain't enough. Something you can't tell your sister, she's still too young to understand. Because my mom and my dad fell out of love. Some things I couldn't tell my sister, but she was still too young to understand. When you love someone.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Easy to see why you were a top 10 finalist on American Idol. I mean, it's
actually
easy to see.
I was top 24.
Well, in my list, you're top 10.
Oh,
in my list, you're. I voted for you.
Thank you so much.
I was cheering for you and hoping you would have gone all the way.
I mean, appreciate that a lot.
You're an inspiration to so many people, and not only in Plano, Texas, where you were their hometown hero, but I'm sure back home, you know, where you grew up in Kinshasa. Have you been back?
I have not been back, but I've gotten a lot of messages and just comments online, just kind of feeling like a lot of the people there are feeling like a kind of like their champ a little bit, you know, and that's just been a surreal, because that's a very musical place, and there are so many people who would do so many things to be in my position, and so I feel like they kind of get to live that through me, and so it's awesome, because I feel like I'm not just doing this for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much bigger than me, so.
Has it been a big adjustment moving from DRC to the United States?
I mean,
getting here in and of itself, a lot of people are trying to get to America, and you made it. You got here.
Yeah.
That must have been a big challenge and a big change.
It was a crazy process that took a long time. And just like a lot of folks can relate to, it's not something you don't just, and you grew up in America. Most times you just got to get your passport and book your flight. You know, but, you know, the process for an immigrant to come to America, especially from a country of hostility, can be a nightmare. You know, I remember when I came to the States, first off, I was just like silent mode because I'd never seen so many white folks before, you know.
And you didn't speak the language.
I didn't speak the language.
Oh, my goodness.
I fell in love with American cheese. Like, I couldn't stop eating American cheese.
First stop, McDonald's, right?
I'm not saying that has changed. I'm not saying that hasn't changed. but, yeah, it was – and then just, you know, you go from third world country to New York City. It was just mind-blowing. And then in Texas, there's a highway called the High-5. It's just like this big old bunch of – you know, looks like a little child drew a bunch of highways.
Right.
And I was just, like, silent the whole time. Just there was so much to soak up. And I remember just getting here, the process, like all the forms of transportation we took to get here, walking, all like we walked miles and miles. And, You know, there were these, like, I think they were, like, you know, those Volkswagen kind of, like, vans. Mm-hmm. Just stuffed with a bunch of people, like, sardines in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any form of transportation that I can think of, we took.
Mm.
And I still remember leaving the border through the Congo River.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a day that not only, as I got older, I realized that it actually kind of traumatized me. But it was like the best and most traumatizing day of my life at the same time.
Mm.
Because had that day not happened and things not worked out, there's no telling, you know, how life could have rolled out for me. So I think about all the, I would Google stuff, you know, once I learned how to work the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I would Google stuff and just kind of always stay updated with what's going on over there. And I think at the time that we left, it was just, it was like a 13% chance of people safely, families safely leaving the country. There was like a 50,000 death rate.
Wow.
from the genocide and everything that's happening. And I think about, like, out of all those odds, how do I end up safely getting to America? It definitely helps ground me whenever I ever feel like I'm well on my way or anything. Mm-hmm. I just kind of
do a reality check.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, yeah. So it was a crazy experience, but I'm glad it happened. And I think about getting here and all those missed flights and maybe mm-hmm. not coming. And, you know, I was like, well, it wouldn't be the first time. I've had, you know, travel complications, ended up getting there safely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're nominated for an Immigrant Journey Award. You've received letters from Congress, commending you on your life and your journey. And
yeah.
You are an inspiration to so many people back home and here, because in America, people are spoiled. They don't know what it's like to not have carpet. You know, they don't understand what it's like to live in a hut, a shanty with dirt floors, mm-hmm. or not have clean water to drink, or not have shoes on your feet. People in America don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people from a lot of countries that try to get in here die trying to get here, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
And it's a tragic story, but you've had a happy ending, which is mm-hmm. wonderful, an inspiration to many people. And it's not really an ending. The journey's just beginning, kind of.
Yeah.
You're 23, as you mentioned. And do you have an album coming out? Or
yeah, so for me so far, I've put out some music, and the latest thing I put out was an EP called Learning to Love, which an EP, for those who don't know, and most people don't really know what it is. They're like, I see it online sometimes. But it's basically it stands for extended play. It's like a short little album. It's like a miniature album. And I put that out in last fall. And the title track is called Learning to Love. And the project, the whole EP, is called Learning to Love. And I named it that because it initially was going to be called Something Soulful. And it was just going to be all this, you know, soulful music in there. But then I was on my way to L.A., I was traveling back and forth, and I just was like, it just dawned on me. I was like, everything I've gone through in this life, you know, from the poverty in the Congo to some of the wealthiest people that I've met, it's just, and I've been able to be around and to just, I've gotten to meet people from all walks of life and speak all kinds of different languages. And what this has all taught me, the good and bad, is just how to love, you know. I think that true and unconditional love is whenever you love through the good times and the bad times. And this whole process has taught me how to learn to love people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's called Learning to Love. So that's out right now, but I am planning to release a new single.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that too.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of your fans here in the U.S. and around the world are also excited to hear you say that. And so, I mean, you know, when you're talking about learning to love,
yeah,
you grew up, as you mentioned, in difficult situations. You were lived in a homeless shelter for a while. You virtually are or have raised your siblings.
Yeah.
And you have a child yourself, a little boy.
Yeah, dude. Baby James.
Yeah. And we saw him on the show wearing mm-hmm. headphones and whatnot. So, you know, I mean, it's a long journey.
Yeah. There's a lot's happened. I don't feel 23, you know.
You've lived two lifetimes, you know.
I've been very, and I maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to, and I don't know if this is like a good thing to say, but there have been moments where I was like, you know what, if God takes me right now, it's my time. I've lived a long, happy life. I've lived a long.
Your son needs you.
So, yeah. So yeah. I would like to stay, and I plan on staying, but there's a lot that's happened. You know, City House is this place in Plano, Texas, that basically I grew up in that program. And then I also kind of, I was fostered by different people and I just bounced around a lot and I knew no stability, but, the city of Plano, at just one point was just like, took me under their wings and they were like, you know, we're not gonna let you sink and we're going to be there for you. And that's why, some people call me the son of Plano because Plano kind of raised me. And then, and whenever I got to a point where I could take on my brothers a few years ago, I, you know, just throughout all the craziness, I kind of was like a provider of kind of comfort for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was able to legally take them on, that's what I did. And
amazing.
Also have my son. Yeah, he's a 22-month-old.
Wow. I imagine you're going to teach him all about dad's life and maybe bring him and visit back home, DRC.
Oh, I would love that. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a plan, one of my plans. I'd love for him to go back and visit the villages and the places that I walked and experienced over there.
What a great story. What a great story.
Ron, and there's a stadium out there. There's a stadium out there. Mm-hmm. And one of my biggest goals is to one day do a concert where Muhammad Ali won his belt back.
Mm-hmm.
One of my biggest goals is to one day do a concert in that stadium. So
there you go. I mean, it's good to have goals, and I'm sure you'll reach those goals.
Thank you.
Would you do another song for us?
Yeah. I'll actually do that song that I was debating. I was like, should I play the new song? This is a worldwide premiere.
Literally a worldwide premiere.
Right? My worldwide premiere of my song. It's called More Than I Should.
Okay.
And I plan on releasing it August 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, this is a big opportunity, and I want people to hear the message of this song. I'm going to give you a little bit of a quick backstory on the song.
Yeah, please.
So last September, I hit absolute rock bottom. You know, it was a combination of so many things, from idol to becoming a single dad at a young age, and my brothers, and, you know, everything. And then there was a lot of things that as I get older, I realized, like, traumatizing things that happened overseas and in my childhood that I didn't deal with because, you know, a lot of cultures, and this isn't okay, a lot of cultures kind of teach you that mental health is not a real thing. And you can think it away if you're just feeling sad, and you can think it away. And I used to kind of, because that was my culture, I didn't realize that was a real thing until it happens to you and you experience it firsthand. So I'm just on this mission to kind of help eradicate that stigma, because it's a real thing and people need to be treated for it, or they need to find coping things that work for them. And so when I was at this hospital, we were in group therapy, and I kind of was embarrassed because every time the therapist would ask me, like, so what do you do when this happened? I was like, I just play guitar to like all her questions. And she was like, I think you might have an unhealthy obsession with music. And I was just like, I took that kind of offensively because right. That's like, okay, that's kind of my career,
that's
my
life.
That's
what I'm doing.
That's what's gotten me right out of so many things. And so I was just like, hey, I got to go to the restroom. And then I like went to the restroom and I snuck out the hospital. I was like, I'm out of here. Fast forward, I think either later today, next day, the police, my agent called me. He was like, you need to step outside right now. There's cop cars everywhere. Because I was impatient. I needed to be at the hospital. I was still getting treatment. And clearly I needed to be there. But I didn't want to deal with that.
Right.
Know? So it took me back. And then I get back and they're like, hey, Ron, we have a guitar that's been sitting in the closet. It's there's a missing string. It's really, really out of tune and dusty. I was like, nope, I'll take it. And so I took that guitar, and they used to keep crayons and watches and just so no one would try to harm themselves. So I took one of those pieces of papers and the crayons, and I wrote this song in this hospital. And it's kind of like two songs merged into one. I wrote two songs, but I just kind of merged them into one. So the first part is about a girl that I met there and her story and stories of girls like her, especially from where I come from. The story is really relevant. And then the second part is kind of about where I was at the time. So anyway, that was a lot.
Wow. No, no. That's a very interesting story. And
I think it's one of the most vulnerable and raw songs I've ever written. It's called More Than I Should.
You were barely a teen and your father did things no man should ever do, and the scars that you wear, like bow ties and your hair, you
wake up and fake it. So much makeup, you hate it. And I know hope. No one understands your pain. Nobody has had to face your demons. And yes, I know hope. When you listen up real close, underneath the songs you sing, you're screaming. And I don't have to understand you to be there for you. And in the darkness I still feel you, I still see you. You're like a diamond on the moon. I've been drinking more than I should lately. I've been thinking mostly about you lately. One last string and mostly tune. My guitar's in love with you. I've been drinking more than I should. So pour it up. So bottoms up. So pour it up. Bottoms up. And if I never see you, sure was nice to know you. So I'll be trying to forget you with some Jack and Coca-Cola, yeah. One last string and mostly tune. My guitar's in love with you. I've been drinking more than I should lately. So pour it up. So bottoms up. I've been drinking more than I should lately, and I've been thinking mostly about you lately. One last string and mostly tune, my guitar's in love with you. I've been drinking more than I should.
That's awesome. Ron Botonga, is that beautiful? I like it. I mean, it's a sad story, but I love your voice, and I know that they are sincere and heartfelt lyrics, and probably painful to write, I'm sure.
And to sing sometimes.
Yeah.
When I revisit that place, I'm just like, ugh.
Takes you back to a difficult time.
But I'm in a much better place, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything. So
that's great. And a lot of people like yourselves use the fame and the platform to help people become aware of mental health issues and how to deal with them and how to overcome them. And the first part of that process is probably acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, because other cultures, as you say, tend to ignore or push it under the carpet.
And right.
So, you know, good on you to have come as far as you have and done so well. And you're a self-made man. You're a self-made musician. You taught yourself to play the guitar, I read.
I did,
You taught yourself how to do all this. You had no help. In fact, getting here to D.C., that came out of your own wallet.
I would say that I haven't been as privileged as a lot of folks, but I definitely have had a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's no brand, artist, musician, filmmaker, anyone that becomes anything just on a large scale without a supportive team. So I've had a lot of support. I can't disregard that. Mm.
But being on a national stage every week, being viewed by millions and judged in front of millions, that could not have been an easy experience.
No, and I anytime I judge the talent show, a local talent show. I get invited to judge local talent shows for teenagers and such back in Texas. And one of the girls sang Dancing on My Own, which is a song that I performed on American Idol. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling nervous right before I'm about to get on stage. It's just like your heart's pounding.
Right.
You're just waiting behind the curtains. And the next person goes, and then it's your turn. And then you just look up, the producer looks at you, and he motions you forward. It's like, oh, please, no. You know? But you got to step out there and just do your best. Mm. And so it was just, it was, I've never been more emotional roller coaster. Because even my audition, I first auditioned, I was sent home. Luke Bryan gave me a yes. Katy Perry said she didn't quite know who I was, that I knew who I was. And then Lionel Richie was kind of like, you know, back when I was with the Commodores, I was like, Lionel Richie's talking to me about the Commodores. Right. This is crazy. He was like, we wanted to be all these people. Mm-hmm. So they're basically like, it's not that you're not talented, we just don't think you know you yet. Mm-hmm. And that actually, I wrote a song based off of being upset with Katy Perry saying that to me.
Wow.
I'm glad that happened because it made me really kind of go through self-discovery of who I am as an artist. Mm-hmm. And then I thought I was going home, and then they brought me back to the judge room. I was super confused. A lot of people at home were like, was that stage? I was like, I guarantee you it was not stage. I was really upset and really
genuinely shocked.
No, it was unreal. And I walked in, and I started to kind of figure it out a little bit as they started talking, because Luke Bryan's just cheesing, good old country guy, just cheesing the whole time. And Katy Perry's got a little smirk. I was like, uh-oh, like, is this happening? That doesn't happen. Like, you know, and then Lionel Richie goes, I got the children. I was thinking about it. He's like, Ron, I think we might have made a mistake. I was like, what? And they just basically go on. And Katy Perry, you know, she was like, you know, I even had a question mark by your name because I was just unsure. But if you promise to bring us Ron in Hollywood, we would like to change our decision and give you a ticket. And so just the whole thing was an emotional experience. But I got to meet some of the most talented, most amazing people through the whole process.
Wow. And so you can't write the past. The past is a past. It's happened. Yeah. You've lived it. If you could write the future, what would be the next chapter for Ron Boltanez?
There's a lot of things I want to do.
Share some with us?
Yeah, the main thing I want to do is I want to continue to, because when you go through this industry, it's like you have to look at it. All right, I can either do what is popular and what sells, whether that be production or whatever, just whatever is popular. And there's always that thought in the back of your head. I'm like, oh, I could just do what's popular and I could, you know, be in a better financial place. Mm-hmm. But then there's a side of me, as a lot of people know, they know people come to my shows because they want to experience that raw, high emotional performance, you know, and that's what I'm best at. But I think that if I toned that down, I could be a little more pop. Mm-hmm. But I just recently decided, I was like, you know what, like, I'm just going to be myself. I'm going to continue to do this really high emotional kind of thing and see what happens. So I want to keep writing and putting out these songs. Hopefully there's some happy, more upbeat ones in there. Mm-hmm. And I've written a couple of those. But to continue to write songs for myself, for other people, and continue to make music and tour all over the country, tour all over the world.
What's the tour schedule plan for you?
As of right now, we only have two tentative shows coming up in San Diego and in Los Angeles. So I'm excited to be back on the West Coast. Of course, got to set up a Plano or a Dallas hometown show soon, too. But
and a tour in Africa.
Absolutely. But one thing I wanted to mention, I think, for me personally, above the music, if you were to ask me why is Ron Boltanez put on this earth, I think it's to remind people they're not alone, to love people unconditionally, and to just be I want to be a symbol of hope for people, you know, that can look at like the obstacles, the things I went through, and kind of gives them the power to like, if he can go through that, I can go through this. But there's an organization that called Kick Hope. And that I kind of started in 2012, and it's just kind of baby stages. But that's what I was put here on earth to do, is this organization. The motto is kicking hope into the Congo one soccer ball at a time. So I want to go put together these soccer tournaments. And basically it's like 16 teams, 7-on-7. And as I build my career, I want to like have one influential person on each team. And we play soccer. We let the kids get active, stay off their phones for a little bit. and teamwork and earn and, you know, because just it's all just good things going on. And we raise money and then we target maybe organizations, a family, or just those in need, because there is a superfluous amount of resources out there. And I think there's no reason why the people who need it most shouldn't have access to it. So I want to help be that channel for them.
Well, I'm sure the people back home in DRC are proud of you. The people in Plano are proud of you. As your son grows up, I'm sure James will be proud of you.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're thrilled and proud to have you in our studios and
for all you stand for
and all you've done. So as a part of the World Refugee Day celebration, you've definitely been a welcome, refreshing guest on this show.
Thank you.
And it's nice to see someone deserve all the success they've gotten and not take it for granted. And I can see that you don't do that. Now, you mentioned the things you want to do and accomplish. What advice would you give somebody? I mean, let's say there's people listening in Africa, watching in Africa, and they're wondering, I want to be Ron. I want to have that break. What, you have any advice?
My advice would be is, if we can put hundreds of people on an airplane and fly them across the world, if we can take pieces of plastic and metal and FaceTime instantaneously with people across the world, if we can get to the moon, if we can create surgeries to heal, if we can do all those things, why can't you accomplish your goals? We've already done the impossible. You know, there isn't a thing that I don't think that we can accomplish, you know. So I think the only true limitations we set are the ones that we set on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was a kid who didn't see any of this coming, and you never know what life has in store for you. So I would just say, just like, find something that keeps you in the middle. And by that I mean, for me, when I was in the Congo, we'd have power outages or electricity wasn't like it is in America. So we had our milk we'd have powdered milk and we'd mix it with water. And so that's how I drink my milk still. Whenever I take a scoop of the powder and I mix it with the water and I taste it, it puts me back in the middle.
Reminds you of home.
So regardless of what happens positively or how extreme it gets negatively,
mm-hmm.
find things that put you in the middle while you're dreaming all the way up here.
Mm.
So that would be my advice.
That's great. That's great advice. I'm going to try some powdered milk when we finish the show.
Oh, yeah. Nestle. It's called NIDO. Nido.
Wow, what a pleasure it is to have you here. And, you know, since you speak several languages, I want to give you a chance to say hello to some friends in French and in Swahili and in the different, you know, dialects you speak. So, you know, because they're tuned in around the world. We have an audience in 100 countries around the world.
Yeah, okay. I only feel confident enough to do French.
Okay,
is
go
that
ahead.
All right?
Okay. Sure.
Donc, je ne connais pas comment commencer. Bonjour à tout le monde. Je m'appelle... I always say Ronnie when I'm speaking in French. It happens.
Tell me, buy the CD. That's what you need to say in French. Buy the CD.
Merci beaucoup pour tous les gens qui ont été entendre maintenant. And... Merci.
Merci beaucoup. Now, when will the new album come out? Do you have a target date that you're thinking about?
So, the single itself...
That's the August single.
Yeah, August. Yep. And I don't know if... I think I'm just going to focus on doing multiple singles for
okay.
now. Until there comes a point where people are just like, Ron, if the fans are like, we're going to strangle you if you don't put out an album, then I'll start working on the album. But for now, I just want to take these little pieces of myself and mm-hmm. my past... And just put them in singles and just kind of do that for now.
And where can people find you on the internet, social media? Where does Ron Butangas live?
Usually, I say, like, if you guys want to follow me, I turn around and I say, this is what my back looks like.
Follow my back. You're on social media, I'm sure,
I am
right?
on social media. Okay. It's at Ron Butangas. I've got a unique enough last name where mm-hmm. it's
can you spell it for...
Yeah, it's... I know that first name is just really, really difficult
yeah,
to spell.
Right. The first one, R-O-N, yeah.
Yeah, R-O-N, but the last name is Butangas. It's actually Butangas en français, mm-hmm. but, you know, adjusted it so people are going to, you know. And people still mess
the English
up.
Pronunciation. Yeah.
It's Butongez. So Ron Butangas, and the music is on just about every platform that you can think of. I know that I got to promote, like, go buy my music. But I'm like, hey, go listen to it for free on YouTube. Just wherever you can get your hands on it. I want these songs to be a positive thing for people's lives.
Can we beg you for one more song?
I can do one more song for you.
Oh, thank you.
In exchange for Chipotle.
Yeah.
I'm going to do...
And for those around the world who don't know, Chipotle is a Mexican restaurant here in the United States.
Yeah, for those of you guys who don't know around the world, if you imagine what heaven tastes like or looks like, that's what Chipotle is.
That's Chipotle,
is.
Huh? Your heaven is Chipotle.
I can't tell you how many times I've been to Chipotle.
In queso heaven.
So this is Learning to Love, the song that I told you about that I wrote on a plane. It was the first time I wrote a song with that instrument. But I just have to get it down. It's been my biggest song so far, and I love this song. First song hit the radio for me, too, so that was really cool.
Wow.
So it's going to get a little bit loud. It's a loud song, but hope you enjoy it.
Whoa, whoa. I was never taught how to love someone like you, and I have always fought to be loved until I met you. I'm just learning to love through the good and the bad, learning to love through the right and the wrong, learning to love you, it drives me insane. Just learning to love through the good and the bad, learning to love through the right and the wrong, just learning to love you, it drives me insane. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Can I ask you for a favor? Is there any way I can teach you a little part of this song?
Oh my goodness. You can teach me, but I'm not a very good student.
Okay. I want you to sing a part of this song with me. We'll do a very talking.
Okay, talking part. Okay, good. Okay, I can talk.
When I do this song at a concert, that big whoa part is like what people sing, and I close my eyes, and it's just magical. And I want to share that moment with you, if that's all right.
Sure.
Okay, it goes like this. It's like,
whoa.
That's the singing version, but this is the talking version. It might be comfortable.
Okay, yes,
for
you. Yes.
Okay. It goes like this. It's for all the men in the house. It goes like this.
Whoa, oh, whoa, oh, 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 oh.
That's it.
Oh,
easy
really?
Enough.
That's talking.
Whoa, oh, whoa.
A couple more times.
Whoa.
Thank you.
I'm just
learning to love through the good and the bad. I'm learning to love through the right and the wrong. Learning to love you, it drives me insane. But I wouldn't want it any other way.
Ron Tonguez.
Thank you so much.
You know, Ron, in 40 years of doing this, no artist has ever said, please sing along with me. Ever. For good reason. For good reason.
I'm glad we got to share that. No.
That is a first for me.
I can always say
that.
I sang
in my career. But I see why you're all about love.
Yeah.
You were born on Valentine's Day.
I was born on Valentine's Day. That's right. I don't know if I like it yet still. I haven't figured that out.
Well, you know, you get a birthday card and a Valentine's card the same
true
day. So, I mean, in a minute, because we've only got a couple minutes left, what's been the highlight for you so far, if you could wrap it all up?
I think singing with Larry London ranks pretty high now.
Eat your heart, Katy Perry.
That's got to be on my, like, resume. Or on your, like, on your Wikipedia. Whenever.
There you go.
And singer should
that's
be
it,
on there
sang
now.
With Ron Boltongas.
The highlight, I would say, has been... So whenever I'm not in the studio, or if I'm not with my son, whenever I'm not, you know, when I have like the moments I have a little bit of free time, I like to fill that time up with visiting elementary schools and middle schools and stuff. And they invite me, and I bring my guitar, and I talk to the kids. I kind of adjust it if they're elementary, middle school, high school, and we talk about a lot of the things that, like mental health or just different things or bullying that people aren't comfortable addressing. And we talk about it, we laugh about it, we play games, and I bring out my guitar and we sing songs. If one day the industry just doesn't want Rumble Tongues anymore, that is what I would love to continue doing, is just visiting these schools and hanging out with these kids. Because it's the future of America. Mm. And I love just help if I can prevent some of the traumatic things that happened to me with some of these kids, and that's what I'm going to do.
Just when you thought you couldn't love Ron Boltongas anymore, he says he goes and visits kids in school. Wow. Thank you so much for being on the show and
for
coming here,
and
for all you stand for, and for helping us celebrate World Refugee Day. And,
yeah.
And once again, your website, for the benefit of the audience, if they want to find out more about you, they want to get your CD, your singles, and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just ronboltongas.com. And there you can find where I'm playing, what I'm releasing, and what's going on with me.
Would you promise to come back?
I would love to come back.
You'd love to come back. We'd love to have you. And don't miss your flights next time.
if you promise to sing with me when I come back.
I can't promise that. I'll get you some other singers. We've certainly got some other singers here at VOA. But thank you, Ron, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for
appreciate
having me.
It. Ron Boltongas, our guest. It's World Refugee Day. My name is Larry London. Thank you so much for joining us on Border Crossings.